Welcome to the Tax Answers Advisor, the podcast where we tackle the real tax frustrations that taxpayers experience who owe the IRS money, your ex left you a surprise tax bill, or the IRS has just sucked money out of your bank account. If this anxiety and frustration keeps you up at night, then keep listening. Maybe you're feeling overwhelmed by unfiled tax returns, or you're staring down a tax bill you didn't even create. It just caught you totally by surprise, and you owe $20,000 or more from actions of a former spouse, a dead spouse, and you had absolutely no idea. And now, you're not even sure where to turn. You're not alone, and you don't have to stay stuck. Each week, we break down understandable tax solutions that can help you to get back your finances, get back your peace of mind, and protect your future, one clear step at a time. Whether you're looking to help yourself or want to support a family member who is facing these tax challenges, this podcast is here to empower you with the knowledge you need to make the next best step. Stay with us for this very special episode so you can learn how to move forward with confidence and finally get the tax answers you deserve. And this week, we have a very special guest, Eric Green, a tax attorney, recovering accountant, and author. In just a minute, we're going to talk to Eric here. Think about this, though. Are the overdue taxes or unfiled tax returns keeping you up at night? Or are you feeling overwhelmed by tax issues stemming from a spouse's dishonest business dealings, or perhaps you're behind on filing for yourself? You're not alone, and it's time to take control. We help clients eliminate the feelings of annoyance or embarrassment about owing taxes, ensuring you're not alone and worried about fines, fees, or penalties. We remove the stress and anxiety of dealing with the IRS so you won't face unexpected tax liens or surprises like having your money sucked out of your bank account, or even worse. Visit taxreliefcall.com today to schedule your introductory session so you can get on the road to sleeping better at night and having peace of mind. I want to extend a big welcome here to Eric Green. How are you doing today, Eric?
Doing excellent. How are you doing?
Oh, doing just fine there. Can you give us just a little bit of an introduction, a little bit about your background?
Sure. So I was an accountant, decided I didn't really love accounting, so I went back to law school. And when I got out, really was going to do estate planning is really what I was thinking I was going to do. Over time, found that I enjoyed representing people, resolving tax issues. And so really now for over 20 years, the focus of my practice has been civil and criminal taxpayer representation.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes. And very, very good partner and working resource. I worked with Eric for a few years now, and he's always been a great asset because I would call him like a guru, although he's very humble about it. I do have to say that. So, but we're going to sit here and discuss just how you as a taxpayer, what some of the things you need to do and some of the common issues encounter. So right quickly here, just jumping right in, Eric. So what are some of the most common reasons people end up in serious tax trouble?
Well, on the individual side, something happens, they don't file. And then once they start that process of falling behind, they start putting off the next year because don't worry, I'll get to it. And at some point it becomes 3 years, 4 years. And then the government ultimately catches up with them. And now they're filing a number of years tax bill, penalties and interest, or they might have even had refunds coming to them. Now, after 3 years, they've lost their refund because you can't claim it after 3 years. So on the business side, usually it's businesses that have a cash flow issue and they can't pay the sales tax. They can't pay the payroll tax. And inevitably, the government, federal, state, or both catches up with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like a domino. 1 year hits, then it kind of gets lost and then just keeps going. Then all of a sudden it's like, oh, the IRS forgot about me. Well, not quite. Not quite, but that's kind of sometimes how it just happens. So now we mentioned about the IRS finding them, tracking them down. So what's the step that someone should take when they do receive a notice from the IRS or are just flat out behind?
Well, a couple things. One, contact the IRS. Certainly, my recommendation would be to have representation. One, it creates a buffer between you and the government. The other thing is, hopefully, you've hired a representative who's trained in this, who has experience in this. So, one, get guidance. I'll give you an example, one that you and I have talked about before. You know, folks that come in who haven't filed in 9 years, 10 years, you don't have to file 10 years. The rule is the last six to get into compliance. So you know, I've had people come to me where the accountant said, look, we filed the first 5 years. We have seven more to go. And I'm like, why are you filing 12 years? Mm-hmm. And they'll say, well, we have to get the returns filed. And I'm like, well, actually, no, you only had to do six. You now have a taxpayer that has all kinds of liabilities that they wouldn't have otherwise had to have. But the professional also creates a buffer. But obviously, the step number one is start getting this stuff done. So if you're a non-filer, get the records put together. If you don't have them, they maybe they can be reconstructed. But start getting those returns prepared. And then look at particular programs. State voluntary disclosure programs can limit the look back. But the biggest thing, honestly, is to deal with it. All right, because it won't go away. And what we're seeing because of all the chaos of the government is more and more of it's just simply becoming automated. And so the idea that you can talk to a human being and all that is really rapidly going away. And so I think the pressure is going to be on to have someone who understands the process, can guide you through it, and for you to move quickly to try to just get this resolved.
Yes, because one thing I know and you know and we know from just working with the IRS, you can actually get it resolved. You just need to take a little bit of proactive action. And worst thing is ignoring the IRS. That's one of the worst things that you can definitely do. So yeah, we're working on getting behind taxes. So then as we look at some resolution options for people there, what are some of these options that they can pursue? But yet, once again, it's not one size fits all.
So the way that this works, and I'm going to deal with the IRS because the states are kind of all over the place. Mm-hmm. The IRS will make a determination based on an ability to pay. So you could be uncollectible. What that means is the government has determined that you're unable to make payments right now against the old debt. And so it doesn't resolve it, but they'll won't take enforcement. You could get into a payment plan, and there are a number of different types. Again, depending on how much you owe, the time on the statute, and your ability to pay. And then there's always the most popular program, which is offering compromise, which is a program that where the taxpayer can prove they are unable to full pay, they may be able to settle for less than the total owed. But again, it all comes down to a formula. So another reason why you really want to have a professional that's trained in this who can walk you through the process. I don't know if you looked at the latest statistics. It used to be 42% of offers that were filed were accepted. Hmm. That dropped to 21.
Oh, wow.
And I think part of it is because of all the automation, but part of it is people are now just desperately trying to throw in offers who don't know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And so they're submitting offers that have no chance of success. So it really is important to have somebody who understands this.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and it's not just like as we see so many of these national advertisements. I mean, I hear them on the radio. We all hear them in various sources making these grand promises. We're going to get this done for you. But there's these little intricacies in there when you're dealing with a smaller firm like myself or through your firm that there's things that we take a look at, and it's not one size fits all. And you mentioned an interesting point there about the 21%. So obviously that's probably people just trying to do it themselves. It sounds like. Or professionals not doing it right.
Roles. Mm-hmm. You know, what often happens is people will go to their accountant and say, hey, you know, what can I do? And historically, the accountant said, look, I'll figure it out, right? So they go and they read online and they're going to try to submit. Again, prior to the election, we had all these new staff people. Now, the quality of the information you got was really, iffy. But you could get to a human being and at least start working through the process. With all of the downsizing by DOGE and the early retirements and everything they did to push people out of the IRS, there is really no one to talk to now. So the pressure now falls on either the taxpayer or the tax pro to figure this out. And it's really not made clear. So I think the fact that we had almost the same number of offers filed and the acceptance rate dropped by 50%, I had somebody comment to me, well, clearly the IRS isn't taking them. That's not the way this works. The IRS has a real incentive to try to get rid of the taxpayer out of the inventory. So it's not the IRS isn't going to accept them, but offers are being filed that are not acceptable, that they don't meet these, what we call RCP, reasonable collection potential. They don't meet that threshold for what the IRS would accept. So I believe what you're seeing is more people and more accountants are just trying to handle this themselves, which is not accomplishing anything. It's slowing the whole process down, frankly, with the inventory. And all they're doing is tolling the statute. That collection statute tolls when you submit an offer. So you're not really accomplishing anything but wasting a lot of time and, in some cases, a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So as the IRS wants to get them out of inventory and just be able to move forward there, and you mentioned some of the changes because of DOGE and so on there. So how has the approach to collections and enforcement been done in recent years? And we think about it, are they being more aggressive or more flexible, would we say?
They're being much more aggressive because there's no human involved in most cases. It's now just automated. So for instance, with all the downsizing and everything that happened in 2024 into 25, the government just had its biggest collection year ever. $5.1 trillion.
Wow.
And so what that says is they're collecting more money. And I believe, I don't know anybody who was on the DOGE team at the IRS, but I believe the thought process sort of went like this. Well, wait a minute. We're paying these revenue officers to work these cases. They can't get that. They can only get to so many cases, right? So there's an inventory waiting to be assigned. What if we just move all of them into the automated stream? Mm-hmm. And we can go after all of them all at once. Doesn't that make more sense? And so, I mean, they've always had automated, but it used to be 100,000 or less. Anything more than that had to go to a revenue officer. During COVID, that went up to 250,000. After COVID, when we came out of COVID 22, 23, that went up to 500,000. It's now up to 1 million. So anything 1 million or less, you're going to get over into automated. And now the system just runs. So it sends the final notice. You can send letters. You can do that. But I can tell you right now, 45 days later, they're going to hit your bank accounts. They're going to garnish your wages. We just went through that where we submitted everything, requesting an installment agreement. They issued levies anyway. So I actually had to call the director of collections and get over to the territory manager and get it fixed. But most people can't do that. And so you're going to see, I think, a lot of people, basically the targets of this automated machine that is going to be very hard to disrupt in terms of, you know, before we could call someone, talk to a manager, get a hold on for 30 days. The machinery doesn't work that way. It just goes. And so that's why from the government's perspective, we're going to collect more. Isn't this great? Except for the human beings on the other side who either don't have representation, can't afford representation, or don't really know what they're supposed to do because those notices aren't exactly terribly clear. And I think the pendulum at some point is going to swing back. You're going to have a very frustrated public vent to Congress. I almost think we're setting the stage for another 1998 IRS Restructuring and Reform Act. That's how this happened. Prior to 98, IRS, you got a bill. If you couldn't pay it, they could do whatever they wanted. They could take your home. They didn't need a judge. And so many people began screaming about it that Congress finally acted and reined them back in. We're now taking all the guardrails off again. So the pendulum, I believe you're going to see swing back the other way. They're going to start enforcing every which way and sideways until people start screaming to Congress and they do something about it.
Yep. And we all know how long it takes Congress to act on anything. So could take one of those letter writing campaigns and who knows what have. But yeah, definitely contacting a live body at the IRS is simply a challenge, especially fewer people answering the phones. And the ones that you do get are not always well-versed. And sometimes we call and we know more than they do just because of experience, what we've been doing. And there, sometimes it's just lack of experience on their part. So it's that. And I always, when I call and talk to them, I always thank the person for the work they're doing because I know they're trying to do the best they can in the circumstances that they have. So they don't need me to give them any grief when I call and visit with them. So, and I try, really try not to. So,
but she always checks more flies with honey than vinegar.
Yes, definitely there. Now, here's something that I hadn't thought about before, but maybe you have a suggestion on it. There is that I'm an enrolled agent. Of course, Mike and I represent taxpayers before the IRS and even in state situations there. And as a tax attorney, you do that as well, that same level. But is there perhaps a time when maybe a tax attorney may be a little bit more or in addition to like an enrolled agent like myself in certain cases? Is there anything distinction there?
Old time, I think you would need an attorney is if you're going to go to tax court for litigation, So the notice of deficiency, you know, is issued, mm-hmm. notice of determination, and now you're looking at the idea of filing in tax court, or if it's a criminal case. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, my practice for terms of resolving tax debts or handling an audit is probably pretty similar to what you do mm-hmm. as an enrolled agent or CPA. In fact, my kids, if they said, you know what, Eric, you know, Dad, I really want to do what you do, I wouldn't tell them to go to law school. I would tell mm-hmm. them to go get their EA. You can do 95% of what I do. It's funny. I had a friend of mine who's a CPA came up to me years ago and said, look, why don't we just agree? You give me all the resolution work and you just handle all the litigation and the criminal work. And I said, all I'm going to do is starve to death. There isn't enough of it mm-hmm. to make a living, right? I mean, most of what I do is audit, appeals, and, you know, IRS resolution, you know, back balance. So, mm-hmm. no, I don't think I would not urge anyone to go to law school. And if you're somebody listening to this like a taxpayer, that would not be the first place I go, is to go hiring tax lawyers. In fact, most tax lawyers don't do this.
Mm-hmm.
I have friends at the very large law firms who refer us work. And what years ago, I remember asking them, why don't you guys do this? And they're like, we can't. We don't do resolution work. It's not what we do. We'd spend hours and tens of thousands of dollars figuring it out.
Mm-hmm.
This is what you guys do. We're better off just referring the client to you and letting you handle this.
Mm-hmm. So. Yes. And that's very, very true, because attorneys and lawyers, yeah, a lot of times if the word tax comes up, they just don't want to approach it. They want to let somebody else take care of it, which is why, and you've done this and I work with this as well in family cases where there's a divorce, there's a tax issue going on, the attorneys involved, especially family law attorneys, they know all the ins and outs of what's going on with family law, but these tax issues come up and just no fault of their own, they just could be lost and don't know what to do. They don't know how to resolve it or what direction or what counsel. Thus, that's where either someone who actually specializes in the tax attorney wise, like you, or an enrolled agent like myself, steps in and helps in those situations. And so that's where, if you happen to be in that situation as an individual in some type of divorce case or dealing with something, or if you've been divorced and all of a sudden you get this tax bill from the IRS, you don't want to go talk to your family attorney. You need to find an enrolled agent or someone who specializes in this tax resolution work to help you walk through it and understand what is going on, because that may be all the attorney may tell you to do
right
there. So, because that's not their line.
No, most tax lawyers do planning. They do estate planning. This is not what they do.
Mm-hmm. Definitely there. So you have several of them, several success stories that you've had over the years. Is there just one that's maybe outstanding of a strategy or something that you do that's really helped to make a difference in someone's life?
Well, I think most of them come down to understanding the rules. So, like, I have a client we're going on now whose accountant told them, get all the returns filed. So they were filing 15 forward.
Mm-hmm.
And when we met, thankfully, they hadn't filed anything yet. And I said, well, we're just going to file 19 through 24, like mm-hmm. last 6 years. As it turns out, the 2015 year was like an $8 million gain.
Oh, my goodness.
And so that's where most of this was going to end up. That's where the stress was. So the person's potential liability, just because we understood the rules, went from around $3.9 million mm-hmm. down to, I think, $72,000. Mm-hmm. Because we filed 19 through 24.
Mm-hmm.
And the question always comes up, well, what about those older returns? IRS doesn't want them. I mean, the rule is, it's pretty clear, the last 6 years. Now, the one exception,
mm-hmm.
we do have clients every now and then that will come to see us, and they won't mention that they've been ducking and weaving from the IRS for a couple of years. So I've called a revenue officer, said, look, we're going to get 19 through 24 filed. Mm-hmm. And they'll say, time out. Eric, that sounds great, but we asked for 17 and 18 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
We need those too. We're not going to let your client get the benefit of ignoring us.
Mm-hmm.
And that can happen. But for the most part, I find that understanding the rules, mm-hmm. first of all, you get to calm the taxpayer down, because mm-hmm. right now they're in a panic because they don't know. Nobody knows. All anyone knows is the IRS is bad.
Mm-hmm.
And when you can walk them through the process, everyone gets calmed down. You can put them at ease. And two, look, they did the damage. I didn't advise them to do this. They did this. Mm-hmm. So we can't avoid that. But what we can do is help clean up the mess and do it in as efficient way possible. And again, often sometimes limit the damage, potentially penalty abatement. Maybe they are an innocent spouse. Understanding the process and the rules really is important.
Yes, definitely. That's because I had a client come to me in 2018. I didn't know this at the time, but I learned about it this year, is that he hadn't filed any payroll tax returns or made any payments. He came to me at the beginning of this year saying, I got to get these payroll, all these tobacco taxes paid from 15 years or something like that. But I went back. I mean, I was like, what are you talking about? I've been working with you all this time. And we had all this issue. So anyway, I went back. I looked at what he had filed, what he hadn't filed. And he was right. He hadn't filed anything, but this is still payroll tax. And this is where getting the client to settle down, because he was all stressed out about it. I mean, we're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars potential. And I even consulted with you on this case about, I was like, oh, that applies. Well, we found out. I had to get him calmed down first. Says, you don't need to worry about this. The IRS isn't asking for these returns in this particular case. You've been compliant since you've been working with me. 6 years have gone by. You're good. And the IRS isn't chasing you. I've still spent months trying to calm the client down about it, because it's still in his mind that he needs to do this. And it's like, I just have to give him that calming reassurance every so on about it. Yes, but you're caught up. Since we've been working together, you're caught up. You don't have to worry about it. And finally, I think we're getting to a point where the client's going to be settled down over that. So anyway, yeah, that's a tremendously interesting a case I had there to figure out there with an existing client, that sometimes they come in and we just, I wasn't checking that stuff at the time.
Wait, I would bring it up. Well, by the way, I haven't filed in 15 years.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I wasn't using certain tools back at that time either. So I didn't even think about checking. I just said, we're going to go forward. This is what we're going to do, period. And turned out good for the client in the end. So as we go, and as we've talked about many of these things here, made some good suggestions, someone is going to look for help. Where should I go to find someone who's a tax resolution professional? What are some red flags perhaps that I should avoid in that? Because I hear all these ads on TV, or I hear these ads on the radio, satellite radio. I mean, you hear them all over the place, of these big companies. I even hear some big personalities talking about certain companies and things, which actually I don't know anything about some of these companies. But anyway, what are your suggestions there, of course?
Look, I mean, what I've found over time, those large companies, national, they're on satellite radio, they really don't want to do offers and that kind of stuff, because they're involved and they take time, sometimes up to a year more.
Mm-hmm.
They want to do something quick, get paid and get out. So they tend to do a lot of first-time penalty abatement and streamlined installment agreements. And if you're a candidate for that, then fine. You're being overcharged, but if you don't mind paying it, then sure. My first thought would be to call you, right? But look for somebody who can explain their history, their expertise in this. Like Marcelino, you have your CTRC, your Certified Tax Representation Consultant designation. Look for someone that has this expertise, because, like, for instance, most CPAs don't do tax. Mm-hmm. They do financial, advisory, audit. They don't do tax. So generally, I would look for an enrolled agent. All right. I know that may sound weird, but enrolled agents who are licensed by the IRS, first of all, tend to be they're not as hysterical about dealing with the IRS. They're used to dealing with the IRS. Number two, look for someone who has expertise in this. And if you can find someone local, I think there's an advantage. Even if you're not going to meet with them all the time, most folks want to meet with a human being. I find that I do a lot more Zoom calls, because I find that people would like to, the couple, husband, wife, or just whoever, would like to see me. There's a credibility. There is a calming effect that, oh, I see Marcelino. He's a human being. That's what he looks like. He can explain to me what the process is. The other thing I would be concerned about is anyone that wants tons and tons of money right up front. Because I would tell you, and you kind of mentioned this before, if you have a problem, we can solve it. Now, I may not know how I can solve it. I don't know if you're an offer candidate or if you're a step, but if you work with us, we can solve it. One way or the other, we can actually put this to bed for you. You might be in a payment plan, whatever it is, but if you work with us, we can help you. So I think the biggest thing, find someone with expertise in this. It doesn't have to be someone local, but someone that you can actually meet with. You have a human being you're dealing with. But when in doubt, just contact you.
Well, thank you, Eric. I do appreciate that there. We work at it as we've already helped facts and circumstances with people. Some that owed $400,000 just because of circumstances. We're actually one of those cases we're actually able to get down to zero because of circumstances. So, but that's not everybody.
Well, it's, you know, it's counterintuitive. You know, it's so funny. I have people say to me, well, this will be easy. They don't owe that much. Those are the worst cases. Being remember, if you show an ability to full pay, the government wants you in a payment plan. Mm-hmm. It won't take your offer. So it's counterintuitive. And for those people listening, I would rather do an offer for someone that owes $15 million than $15,000. Because the $15 million is probably never going to be able to pay that. That's a good, that's an offer candidate. And it's not a percentage of what you owe. It's based on what you can pay.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So, yeah, no, I think, but actually to get back to your point, one critical thing, if you're interviewing people, what you want to hear from them is they have to do the analysis, pull the transcripts, look how much time remains on the CSED, and then they can walk you through your options. Mm-hmm. Anyone that says, yeah, we can solve this, I would run from. Unless they're saying, look, we can solve this, but we need to go through the analysis. But my issue with these big national companies is, and by the way, I'm not bad-mouthing any of them. I have not interviewed all of them. We do get clients who've contacted them. The ones that bother me are the ones where they want a lot of money up front. They have not done a lick of analysis. They don't know what they can do.
Mm-hmm.
It is completely misleading, and I think they're taking advantage of people out of fear. What you want is somebody who is, and look, we take money up front. You take money up front. But I'll tell them, look, let's say we're going to charge, I don't know, $7,000 for an offer. We don't take $7,000 up front.
Mm-hmm.
We would take a portion of that, $3,500. We're going to do the analysis and walk you through what your options are, why. Because why would I take seven if I don't know if I can do an offer for you?
Mm-hmm.
And I have to tell you, when we explain that to clients, we get a very good reaction. Say, wait a minute, you only want part of the money and you're going to do the analysis?
Mm-hmm.
That's way better than that.
Yes.
800 satellite radio ad company mm-hmm. that wanted $10,000 up front saying that they could solve this, but can't explain how. Mm-hmm. You want someone who's going to explain to you the process and work with you on it.
Mm-hmm. And one of the points we've gone through, and it's important when you think about it, when you do an analysis and you pull transcripts and you look at what's going on in a person's tax life, there could be ways, and there's ways within it to reduce the tax. There's ways to just to get the offer done. I mean, there's whole strategies in there. Sometimes you don't want to reduce the tax because that may help you get the offer. And there's just all these deals, which is why you got to take a look at that whole big picture, which is why that analysis that we talked about is so important. And so if you are looking at this, trying to get something resolved, then yes, find someone who will do an analysis to figure out what is going to be best or what can be recommended in your particular circumstances, because it's just not, here's what we can do. That's why only 22% of offers are being accepted right now.
We've done this where we pull transcripts and told the client, do nothing. You're not in collection, active collection mm-hmm. right now, and the statute's going to run on most of this.
Mm-hmm.
Do nothing, right? And yeah, I don't make a ton of money doing that, but it's the best thing for the client.
Mm-hmm.
Do nothing because an offer is going to wake them up. They're going to now start reviewing everything. They're going to start looking for assets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we can tell people the statute's going to run 3 months, 6 months, under a year, and you're not in active collection. So it really is finding someone who will do this the right way.
Yes, and certainly that's what we want to do. It's, of course, looking at myself or someone like Eric or even someone that we can refer you to if you want to find someone closer to home. But yeah, there's a lot of options. We can definitely get that done there. Hey, Eric, you know, it's been so informative today. We really appreciate you taking these few moments to help out the taxpayers, knowing that you just need to do something. Get it done. Don't put it off. The IRS will come after you. We'll track you down eventually there. So as they're getting more aggressive and they're using these AI tools even more. So is there just any last thing or any like words of wisdom you want to share, Eric?
I think you nailed it right on the head. I think if you've got this hanging over your head, first of all, you will feel the weight come off when you resolve this. And it is, as you've said, don't wait for the government to find you, because the issue there is now if you're being levied, trying to get that undone is very difficult. You're going to spend some of your resources just trying to get that undone to then resolve it. You're better off being proactive get to the government first, work this out, and just get it resolved so you can put it behind you and then, you know, focus on important things.
Okay, yes, which is why we want to remind people as we talk to them and bring this time we've had together to a conclusion here. It's been a good reminder for ones to keep in mind that, yes, if you do happen to have that shame, that frustration, unfiled tax returns, these haunt you, the IRS is haunting you, or even if your state Department of Revenue is haunting you, that's where we help. We come in, we help you get those burdened feelings, isolationist, or victimized by tax issues. Guess what? It is daunting. And some of our colleagues have had to go through this, but guess what? You don't have to face it alone. That's where we can help you transform those exposed feelings, that vulnerability. You can become more confident and optimistic just by visiting taxreliefcall.com. Do that today. You can schedule an introductory session, and that's with me, Marcelino, by the way, and start your journey to a better night's sleep and peace of mind. And I'm going to thank you for listening today to the Tax Answers Advisor. And remember, together, we can make tax time less taxing.